And it's time for our weekly visit with the coach, Bill Belichick. And Bill, congratulations. Nice win.
Thanks, Len. It was good. Felt good there. Fred, Steve, coach, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Thank you.
Well, you faced a team that has a lot of firepower. And one of the big questions was, would those young DBs be on the same page? And it looked like the coverage was good, and a lot of completed passes were from great catches and great throws. So did you see a big improvement from the beginning of the preseason to that first game with those defensive backs in the coverage?
Well, I think we had our moments yesterday. There were times when we covered them well. There were times where we covered them, and Palmer got the ball in there to Chad. Those guys are good. They're tough. They got good receivers and a good tight end, good back. So they're tough to defend. You got to give them credit. But overall, I thought we competed well against them. We made some of our plays. They made some. So kind of went back and forth.
Palmer looked sharper than he had in previous years. Look, after that knee injury, he wasn't quite sharp. But yesterday, he moved around, made some phenomenal plays. You see him playing at a little higher level that game than you had in the past. A couple years after that injury.
We played him in 07, and then we played him last year in preseason, and he was in there briefly. I thought he played well yesterday. I mean, he obviously had the interception. I'm sure he'd like to have that play back, but, he threw the ball pretty well and made some really good throws, some really tight throws, and I thought he, read the coverage as well, and, threw it to the single receiver. We gave him cover one time, and he tossed it up to Chad, so... He's a good quarterback. He's smart. He's accurate, and he's deceptive in his ability to run and scramble.
We had Brandon Merriweather down here a couple of hours ago, and I asked him the question about game planning with younger players and whether you were simplifying anything. And he said, "Oh no, they're throwing out all the same type of stuff you normally would do in game planning with a lot of young players." But he brought up an interesting point. He thinks that you do it because you get young people to study. If those guys have to study all week, he thinks they're more prepared for the game on Sunday. Is there anything to that, maybe that with the younger player? Because you'd think that with younger players who haven't had the NFL experience, that don't know what they're facing, maybe you simplify it a little bit, make it a little bit easier, a little bit more vanilla.
Well, I think when you game plan, Glenn, the way I look at it is you do what your team can do. And regardless of whether young, old, or in between, whatever they are, if they can do certain things, then you do them. If they can't do those things as a team for whatever reason, then you're better off not trying to do something that you can't execute. So I think that's really what it comes down to is what you feel as a coach that your team is, that you're confident that your team can handle in terms of adjustments or checks or variations on a particular call. So in the end, I think that's kind of what overrides it for me. And that's not always the same throughout your defense. It might be a little different in the secondary than it is with the front seven or vice versa. So you just have to – sometimes that's trial and error. And I think that's how you make your decisions, what you feel confident your team can handle.
Bill, is there any comment on Randy Moss's post-game press conference?
No, I feel the same way about Randy that, as I have for the last three-plus years. Good guy to have on a team. Players and coaches, everybody loves him. He's got a great personality, very enthusiastic, and he's a good football player, so I'm glad he's here.
So for the record, you do appreciate him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You send him cards on his birthday and stuff.
Yeah, because he was saying that he doesn't, get that appreciation. He's not hearing good job or whatever every single week. And we brought up earlier, I remember last year, when people were getting on him a little bit because the numbers weren't there, and you were kind of explaining what he does and how he attracts attention and how that opens stuff up for other guys. So it seemed to me like he had been appreciated by you guys.
Well, he adds a lot to our football team in a lot of ways, on the field, off the field. I think guys look up to him and his energy and enthusiasm for the game, carries over and it helps our football team.
So were you surprised he went off for 16 minutes after the game? Team
yeah,
won a big
I didn't
game?
See it. Yeah, I didn't really see it.
Because he went off for like 16 minutes, and it just seemed a little bit strange after a big game, something maybe that would have made more sense on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Did you talk to him at all today about any of this?
Yeah, well, any conversations I have with the players are, I think, should stay between myself and the player.
So he has not been a distraction at all in the locker room, during the years?
He's been good.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that after the Jets game, how frustrating it could be. This was, I think, last year, when he gets doubled and tripled, the coverage always drops on him, and he has to keep running without getting the ball. and you mentioned that he probably was the MVP. I forgot which game it was. And he didn't. I don't think he had a reception, but opens up everything underneath. People don't normally see that stuff that's not in the camera or not following the ball.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any question that when we look at the way teams defend us, that they take him into account in their game plans. I mean, there's no question about that. So, and you know, now, he impacts the game when he's on the field.
One of the things that surprised me, too, is you guys were getting pretty good pressure on the quarterback, and a lot of times with the four-man front. We hadn't seen a lot of that preseason. Was your pass rush better than you anticipated?
Yeah, I thought we had our moments again, Fred. There were times when we, you know, we hit the quarterback or we were right there, and then there were other times when, you know, we didn't have as good a rush, and you know, he had a little more time back there to, you know, to go to his second and third receiver. So I think we can improve on that. At times it was good. We need to keep building on that and keep working on it. But I thought at times it was good. We had good inside pressure and we tried to change our scheme a little bit so that we could, you know, get a little more pressure up in Palmer. You know, you really want to attack him in the pocket, you know, running around the edge doesn't do much for him. But if you can try to get up in the pocket and keep him from stepping up, and I'll feel like that's a better way to rush him.
On the flip side, it looked like you had great protection in your offensive line yesterday. Mm-hmm. Brady had a lot of time to look and throw.
Well, you know, I think the offensive line did a good job, and of course, being ahead and having the running game going, you know, when you can average 5 yards a carry, that nothing helps a passing game more than a good running game. So, and I think all those things play a part of it, and at times our receivers did a good job of getting open real early, and so we didn't have to block them very long. So, it all just ties in together. It's good team offense, and the offensive line did a good job. Don't get me wrong. They blocked well both in the running game and the passing game, but you know, we got contributions from all the other areas, and it all tied together. And you know, we hurt ourselves with some penalties there, which stopped a couple drives, and that was you know, those are things that we controlled that shouldn't have been a problem, but we made a mistake and put ourselves in long yardage. But overall, you know, it was a pretty solid effort by the front.
I noticed it's just anecdotal, but it seemed like there were a number more passes, defense, knockdowns, tips, or whatever, defensively. Is that just a factor of speed, or was I seeing something that I wanted to see out there?
You know? Yeah. I wanted to see it, too.
Yeah.
We did have our hands on quite a few balls or kind of were in the passing lane on them. You know, as the game went along, we ended up probably playing a little more man coverage, and of course, you should be closer to the receiver if you're in man-to-man than you're in zone. I mean, you can match them in zones, but in man, you know, it should be right there. So that might have had a little bit to do with it, too. It was a little more of a man coverage game in probably the last, you know, quarter and a half, two quarters.
Coach, speaking of men, how about the tight ends? They had that one bubble screen with the two tight ends over. Were you surprised that they just had the two DBs over there?
Well,
800 pounds of tight end running at two DBs.
Right. Well, they were outnumbered. Tom saw it and flipped it out to Wes and Algie and Rob did a nice job out there. You know, it's one thing to have size, but out there in the open field, when you're trying to block a little corner, it's quickness, and they did a good job of locking on to their men and kind of steering them out of the way so that Wes could split it and get in the end zone. So not only are they big, but, you know, they have to have some quickness and athleticism to block out there in that wide open space. So they did a good job on that. It's a nice play. We got a look that we thought was advantageous, and Tom took it, and Wes got it home.
And also the combination of Hernandez. He might have caught that – one pass and was scooting all over the field. Very good moves and seems to have a good awareness of where he is in the field when he catches it.
I think Aaron's very comfortable in the passing game. He had a lot of production in college, of course, in Florida as a tight end, but playing almost at times like a wide receiver. And he can run, he can catch, and he's good with the ball in his hands. They used him on a lot of catch-and-run type plays, underneath routes, middle screens, things like that. And just evaluating him in college, you could see that he could, you know, make some plays with the ball, you know, after he caught it.
McCourty and Butler at the corners, certainly both of them seem to have their moments in that game yesterday.
Yeah, they did. I agree with that. You know, it was a big play. The first play of the game was a big play. You know, when Palmer threw it up to T.O. and, you know, Devin knocked it down there. He got his hands on another ball kind of in the corner of the end zone going the other way in the second half. But you know, I thought Devin did a good job, and you know, Darius had his moments there too. You know, he got his hands on a couple balls, made a couple good run force tackles, and again, those are two good receivers now, and so we got tested pretty good with them. And you know, Shipley in the slot, Gresham a tight end, Carson Palmer. I mean, it was You know, tough group to compete against, but you know, I thought we hung in there. Could have been better, but we hung in there.
You talked about earlier about having guys do what they can do out there when you're putting out game plans. With the youth that you have, and you have so much quickness back there, can this unit be a lot more aggressive than maybe some of the units you've had in the last couple of years? Maybe take chances. We saw New Orleans do that. I know they did it with an older player in Sharper out there, but they gambled an awful lot. And though their defense wasn't a defense that stopped you every Sunday, they would force a lot of turnovers.
Well, I think that there's a correlation between team speed and turnovers. It gives you an opportunity to get more people to the ball, you know, more guys to the ball more often, and it gives you a chance to get it out. Or when it gets out, you have more guys there to recover it. Kind of what happened on our fumble there when James knocked it loose. You know, we had so many guys around the ball, it was, you know, hard for us not to get it. So, you know, that definitely helps you in the turnover department. But, you know, again, in the end, I don't think it's about necessarily about age or experience. It's about the quality of the player and how they perform. So, you know, we've seen young players perform well. We've seen young players perform not so well. And same thing with older players and guys in between. So it really just comes down to, you know, the performance of the individual players and the unit as it's put together that it can function effectively as, you know, as a full team.
Coach, let me go back for a sec to the game plan. When you're playing Cincinnati, last year I think they were sixth in the league rushing and 23rd passing. Were you geared more when they came out to stop the run? It looked like you had guys coming up to the line of scrimmage, you know, DBs and linebackers. They tried to get outside a few times. They tried to come in the middle. You took that away from them, and they went more to the passing game in the second half. But was it primarily looking to take away that running game early to get them out of there, what they wanted to do?
Well, you know, you can take away the running game, but Cincinnati is a good throwing team as well, and they can hurt you with the big plays down the field, and that's kind of what they do. That, as you saw, they had unbalanced line, sometimes an extra offensive lineman in the game playing tight end, and things like that to run the ball and just throw it deep down the field. They're shot type play action passes, and then later on in the game they went to more of a conventional set with three wide receivers and a tight end. And they spread the field a lot. There wasn't much motion. There wasn't much shifting or any, you know, really exotic formations. But it was kind of a different type of attack where sort of like Indianapolis does. They just line up out there, try to read the defense and get a play that attacks the weakness of the defense. So it's almost a complete opposite type of philosophy, offensive philosophy, with the same team within the same game. So it's you know, it's hard for an offense to do that, although I think Cincinnati does it pretty well. And it's hard for a defense to defend that. Usually you get one or the other, not both. And they use both. They have used both, and they use them both pretty effectively. It's hard to get ready for all those tight end offensive line unbalanced formations and all that, and then at the same time be able to defend their multiple receiver sets with a quarterback like Palmer.
All right, let's take a 90-second break. We'll come back with the coach. It's the Jets coming up next Sunday. We'll break them down with Bill Belichick. Coming up next, it's Patriots Monday live from Gillette. All right, back here on the Big Show, it's Patriots Monday. As we always do, we're live down here in Foxborough with the coach, the J-E-T-S Jets, coming up on the schedule. Ooh. I know you guys just absolutely love the Jets. I've heard all
you
about
tape
that.
Any of those shows, Coach?
Hard Knocks, and still haven't seen it
yet. Yeah, right? I haven't seen it yet.
It's amazing. None of the guys in this team have seen the show. But Merriweather did admit he wanted to. He just couldn't find the channel, so he was looking for it.
Didn't know what time it was on.
In this game tonight, how similar are these defenses now, the Ravens and the Jets, obviously with Rex moving? How similar are they, Bill?
I think that they're different. I think they're quite a bit different.
How?
Well, I just don't think that the Ravens run what the Jets ran, you know, what the Jets run or what Rex ran when he was at the Ravens. They've changed their defense. Some of the players are the same, and certainly there's some carryover in terms of you know, basic coverages and basic fronts and that type of thing. You know, guys are kind of in the same position. They haven't, you know, fundamentally changed their scheme, but it's different. It's different.
They don't bring as many players. They play a little more.
Yes, I would say they don't blitz as much as the Jets do, and their third down package is quite a bit different than the Ravens' third down package is different than the Jets. They're probably more similar on first and second down than they are on third down.
Do you think any of that, you know, Ray Lewis was talking afterwards, because obviously the Jets do a lot of yapping. Do you think that it makes any difference what people take from a program of people talking all the time? when you get to play them? Do you think it helps or hurt? Or because, you know, the more time.
From a guy who talked an awful lot when he was a player. It's interesting.
Because no one listened to me. That's why I talked.
Couldn't understand what you're saying.
There was no cameras in Buffalo. You guys had all the cameras in New York. Jeez, I could have had 40 sacks and you burp and get in the Pro Bowl. My goodness. No, but, you know, all the yapping that was done, does that help at all or hurt at all? I mean, because people do. Players take it seriously when a team starts yapping and hasn't really accomplished much.
Well, I think in the end it just comes back to what you can do, how you perform. And, you know, players that talk and back it up, it's not really talking. It's they can do it. And then there's, you know, I think the ones that talk about it and can't back it up and just blowing a lot of hot air, that, you know, that can be annoying.
Why are you looking at me?
Because hot air is coming in his face.
How is it that some guys have that type of personality and seem to irritate everyone, including other coaches? And I hear you say wonderful things about Chad Ochocinco, who's a terrific football player.
He patted you on the butt, too, during the
middle of the game. Did you realize he came over and patted you? In the middle of the game.
I think I might have missed that.
Yeah, they're down 31-3. He's over there patting you.
Missed it or blocked it out mentally.
What is it? What is it about him that doesn't seem to irritate anybody?
He's a fun guy. He really is. He's got a great personality. He has fun on the football field. But he really competes. He loves football, and he loves to compete. He'd be we were out at the Pro Bowl after the 06 season. He would tell the corners what route he was going to run. I'm going to run an in cut, and you still can't cover
me. I thought you didn't like stuff like that, where people are giving secrets away.
He just liked to compete. I mean, he loves football.
Is that the difference?
I definitely respect that. And you know, I don't think everybody has to have the same personality out there. I'm glad we all don't. It makes it a lot more interesting. But he loves football, and I just, you know, I enjoyed the time with him out there at the Pro Bowl. I worked him out at USC the year he was coming out, and spent some time with him there. But you know, just on the field, he's a fun loving guy that his teammates like, and he competes hard. I respect that.
Is that the difference, that some of these guys don't compete? They got a mouth, but they don't necessarily back it up with 100% effort, that this guy does do that.
Yeah, he absolutely does. Absolutely does.
Who is the biggest yapper you've ever been involved with in games? I mean, when I first got in the pros, Chuck Knox would say, you know, we're playing the Jets. He says, if Dwight White opens his mouth, stick your hand down his throat and pull his heart out. He said other things, too. I can't say anything. Well, but I mean, there was yappers, and there was, you know, who was your consummate yapper on the teams you've been on?
Well, one guy had a lot to say. It was certainly Gastineau.
Oh.
Not just talking, but, I mean, everything else. He kind of took it to another level. I mean, that was, you know, right there in the 80s when, I don't want to say it got out of control, but they did kind of rein it in by making the taunting and
the
dances and stuff like that. You know, they cut those back. So
he did bring a lot of notice to the defensive end position. You know, it brought more.
Well, he did, yeah, with him and Klecko. And that was a pretty formidable, two formidable defensive ends. You run away from one and you're running into the other. So, I mean, that was tough. And they made a lot of plays. But, you know, I have to put him up there.
You remember Villapiano, one of the great trash talkers? We had Conrad Doble and Villapiano on the same team. And Conrad, Phil could talk. I mean, I'm going to kill you until your heart out, you know, all that. But the Raiders at that era in the 70s, late 70s and early 80s, they had some of the great trash talkers of all time, and they delivered too.
Well, that's, yeah.
All right, let's
trash talking, you've got an opponent this week.
Yeah, they did a
little. Let me ask you this one about, because so much has been made of LT and Holmes, who won't be playing here next week, and the additions to the Jets. What does Chris Jenkins back healthy again for this team mean for the Jets?
Well, he's a real good football player. Chris is a very explosive guy. He's not only big, but he's explosive and he's powerful. He can penetrate into the backfield. He can really be disruptive, whether it's blocking kicks, stuffing the run, or rushing the quarterback. And he's a hard guy to block. He's a big man, and he's just, you know, tough guy to keep on the line of scrimmage. So it's hard to run away from him all the time. It's hard to run at him, but you know, you can't run away from him all the time, and you've got to at some point keep him honest and try to work into his area. But he's a load. He's a big physical player.
Well, he helps free up those backers if you're putting two linemen and three linemen on him.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to account for him. He's certainly a guy you got a game plan for. You got to, when you look at your running game or your pass protection, you got to say, okay, where's Jenkins line up? Are we okay here? You know, and those are the kind of guys that I think defensively. You know, they're the ones that impact the game. Every time you put up a protection or a run blocking play or whatever it is, you got to say, well, where is this guy, and you know, how are we going to handle him? Whether that's Lawrence Taylor or Chris Jenkins or, you know, whoever it is.
Your offensive line played well enough last week, or played well this past week. What's going to be the biggest point of emphasis up against the Jets this week, as opposed to what you saw against the Bengals?
Well, the Jets give you a lot of looks. They give you a lot of looks, a lot of tough looks, especially on third down. And they, you know, they line up in overloaded formations, and you know, put a lot of guys over here, and then sometimes the defensive linemen go into coverage, and sometimes the defensive backs really become defensive linebackers and linemen. And so how you're treating them, who's who, and you know, when they'll get over on one side or the other, you know, you've got to respect it, but they don't always come. And so if you send everybody over there and they don't come, then you got, you know, nobody on the backside. And if you don't send them, then you're outnumbered. So they give you a lot of, you know, I think it's identification and recognition is a big part of playing the Jets. You still got to block them. Mm-hmm. But if you don't get them counted right, if you don't get it identified properly, then you just cut guys loose, and you know, then it's really trouble.
They usually bring five guys, and it's just where they bring them from and what different times. They bring a lot more. I know they bring at times, but most of the time it's five.
Yeah, they have it all. They max blitz. They'll bring one more than you can block. You know, one, whatever that is. If you're blocking seven, they'll bring eight. If you're blocking six, they'll bring seven. They can bring one more than you block, and they have a couple ways of doing that. And then they have a lot of five man blitzes. But when they play man to man coverage, if your man blocks, then the guy who's in coverage on that man, he joins the rush too. So if they rush five and your tight end blocks, then the guy who's covering the tight end comes, and that's six. And if your back blocks, then the guy who's covering him comes, and that's seven. So they can, you know, they can add into the rushes when they're in man-to-man, and they're in man-to-man quite a bit.
How much does it help you playing them last year and Ryan had that defense in Ravens, but this is a little bit different. So it must help you a little bit having film of them last year.
It definitely helps to have worked against it, sure, because then, you know, at least when we talk about things, you know, the players can relate to it and they can identify it with, this is what they did last year, or here's what they're doing and this is what's a little bit different about it, and this is how they're trying to, you know, cause a problem by giving you a little bit different look. So, yeah, we have a background with it, and that helps. You know, on the other hand, they've seen us play and played against us, and they're familiar with some of the things that we did to hurt it last year or tried to do. So, you know, it goes both ways.
They haven't seen the tight end yet, have they?
How important is it, Bill, to control their running game? Obviously, you did a good job yesterday with Benson early on in that game, and they went to the air, and they've got some weapons. But with this team, they relied so much on the run. I know Jones is not there. LT's there right now. But they do so much with that run, and they're not a high-scoring team. So if they can keep your offense off the field by controlling and just moving the chains with a run, they can control the tempo of the game. How important is it that you stop that run early on so you can get your offense out there on the field?
Right, being able to stop it early and stop it all day, that the run game is huge for them. And, of course, that opens up the passing game. You start have to bring guys down to stop it in the secondary. That opens up the perimeter passing game. So that's what they want to do. Sean Green's a very, very good running back. He's strong. He's quick. He gets a lot of yards on his own. You know, Tomlinson's a good change of pace, but, you know, Green's really the guy. And, you know, they do a good job. They really do. They're big. They have a good scheme. And they have good guys on the perimeter, including Keller, who can hurt you in the passing game, along with, Cotchery and Edwards. So, Brad Smith. So they have some good perimeter players and good, you know, good inside running game. Richardson's a good fullback, so they're a strong team.
Do you expect, especially with LT now, a big part of their game is they put him back there looking like a run. They can throw the football to him. You know, a lot like Leon Washington before, that they can throw the football to him.
Oh, they can, yeah. He's no Leon Washington. I mean, he's more of a regular back.
Right.
But, you know, Washington's really kind of a special play guy. But, yeah, sure, they'll use him. Yeah, they'll use him in the passing game. But I think the guys that really do the damage in the passing game are, you know, the receivers and Keller. And Keller's really kind of like a receiver. So,
Steve, you got your question? It's the question you ask him every week.
Oh, no. We'll get to Logan Mankins later. We've been asking that for 5 or 6 weeks now. But how much do you think the Jets will miss guys like Faneca and Thomas Jones?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm sure that you know, Tomlinson and Thomas Jones, I mean, they're both quality backs. So, and Fanica, you know, I'm sure they feel okay about it. They drafted the, you know, the kid from UMass there, Ducasse, but they're, you know, I think they're probably confident in the group. They're very confident.
Pretty good offensive line.
I think they're pretty confident in the group they have, so they must feel good about it.
Yeah. They are a very confident bunch, we're taking from that.
Yeah.
And you said Washington, you know, they let him go early, and he could catch the ball out of backfield. What about LT? Is he have you on film this year? Does he look like he's
He's had a good preseason. He really has. He's broken a couple, you know, good size run, 20, 30 yarders. Looks like he's got some quickness. You know, still has his quickness, can run well, and, you know, he's got good vision. So, you know, I think as a change of pace, he's different than Green, but I think he's a good complement to Green, good change of pace. I can see why they picked him up.
Well, last year they ran the ball, played great defense. They had a young quarterback. Have you seen improvements in preseason with his ability to recognize things? And I know it's not as complicated, but...
Yeah, it's hard to tell in preseason. I mean, preseason's preseason. We'll see how it goes here. They'll get a good test against the Ravens tonight. You know, it'll be interesting to see how the Ravens defend them and how the Jets attack the Ravens. That'll be an interesting matchup. You know, it's two teams that, you know, kind of know each other pretty well and are familiar with each other and their schemes just through the whole Ryan connection there. And it'll be interesting to see how they match up.
Seemed like Ray Lewis was very, very interested in talking to them.
There's some terrific games this week. All right, hold on, Steve. Wait a minute, I got to do this because we've got a sponsor here. Now for today's Coach's Question of the Week. It's brought to you by Autotrader.com. Visit tailgate.autotrader.com to enter the ultimate ticket and tailgate giveaway. Now, since we don't have a contestant to do it, would you like to take it, Steve, or would you like to pass it to Fred?
Draw color.
Okay, I'll make this. Right, make you it. Can give a quick answer to this. Is there no progress with Logan Mankins, and are you just coaching the guys that you have here?
Yes.
Very good.
Good question, Steve.
would you offer the coach an apology for that, public apology for that question?
I spent two marriages apologizing. Don't make me apologize
about the
anymore.
Let me ask you one question. Right. What is the attire for the Jets game? Cut off sleeves, a little bit jacked arms. Do you have your...
No, a pretty big game time decision. We'll see what we got to work with there.
I know what you're wearing. You're wearing your Tom Brady jersey. That's what you're wearing.
Yeah, you let the surprise out of the bag. Uh-huh. PG Pie missed you. I have no one to belly bump during the game.
This is today's question of the week. It's brought to you by Autotrader.com. Visit tailgate.autotrader.com to enter the ultimate ticket and tailgate giveaway. Coach, good talking to you. We'll do it again next week. We'll talk post-Jets on Sunday. Good luck and congratulations.
Good luck, Coach.
We'll win number one.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Steve. Fred, thank you.
That's the Coach. We're back after this.